in full assurance. The study of the book of Habakkuk, first three lessons, and then the concluding section is a study of the book of Hebrews. How to handle doubt. Our study opens with a question that Habakkuk the prophet proposed to God. In fact, the book of Habakkuk is a kind of dialogue between the prophet and the Lord. We know nothing about the prophet. His problem is perennial. How to handle doubt? And in one quick answer, talk it over with the Lord and listen to what he says. The prophet asks the Lord, "How long?" Now this term, "how long," is found in many parts of the Bible. It occurs several times in the Psalms. It's asked in connection with the 2300 days, and it's asked by the souls under the altar who are wondering how long the terrible persecution of the dark days are to continue. How long will present conditions continue in the world? And the prophet addresses Jehovah with the query, "How long will I cry? Will I pray? Even cry unto thee concerning violence, and thou shalt not answer. Thou shalt not save. How long will it be? How long must I put up with this? All I see around me," he continues, "is iniquity." Now the word that he uses here is the consequences of sin. "How long shall I behold grievance or injustice?" There are some readings that give, instead of "behold," "suffer." How long will you cause me to suffer injustice, despoiling and violence, that is, taking from those who possess violently? Are before me every day, and there are those that raise up strife and contention. Seems like Habakkuk was living in the modern age. Violence, injustice, the consequences of evil of every kind, the despoiling of those who have by those who don't have, with violence, the raising up of strife and contention. We see that in every newspaper. We hear of that in every radio broadcast. And we too can empathize with the prophet and ask the Lord, "Lord, how long is all this going to continue?" And because of this, in Habakkuk 1:4, the law is slacked. The word is literally benumbed. Those who are to enforce the law seem to be benumbed. And judgment, or justice is the word that we would use today, justice never seems to go forth. The wicked surround the righteous, and wrong judgment, wrong decisions are proceeding. The prophet's term for the wicked that compass about the righteous is literally "the wicked one," "the lawless one." This is the same evil person to whom the Apostle Paul makes reference in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Its final focus is on Babylon the Great, the papacy. So the prophet is moving from the wickedness that he sees around him, the breaking of the law to the manifestation of wickedness incarnate that is finally found in the work of Babylon the Great. So there is violence, there is injustice. These are the areas that worry the prophet Habakkuk and raise him to commune with Jehovah, the meaning of whose name means the one who is I am that I am, the eternal, perfect criteria, therefore the judge. Every time Yahweh is found in the Old Testament, it has overtones of a judge or justice. So the question is addressed to the eternal judge, how long am I to see the consequences of wickedness and the total breakdown of law enforcement? In verse 5, the Lord answers, "Behold among the heathen." The word behold here is concentrate. Concentrate on the heathen and regard and wonder. That is, carefully consider what you discern among pagan peoples. "For I will work a work in your days which ye won't believe, though it be told you." The Lord then makes the prediction that he is going to fulfill the prophecy made by Moses in Deuteronomy 28, 49 and 50, that he is going to raise up an enemy people, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a branch of the Syrians, who are going to come and attack the Holy Land. This picture that is given from Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 6 through 11 was soon to be fulfilled in the history of Judea. These Chaldeans were going to attack from the east. Their horses were swifter than leopards, and their fierceness than wolves. They fly as the eagle hastening to its prey. This is a very close allusion to Moses' prediction. "They shall come for violence." In fact, the Lord is saying, you are worried about the violence that you are seeing in your land. You haven't seen anything yet compared with the violence with which the Babylonians will come and destroy Judea, take captive Judah. "They shall come as the east wind, searing, drying, destructive conflict. They will gather captives as the sand." In fact, the people were going to be taken away by the thousands. "They scoffed and derided princes and kings, and every strong fortress. For they shall heap up earth, make great mounds, and they will capture all the fence cities." Verse 11 is an intriguing verse. Prophets and Kings, page 501, seems to throw some light on it. It's an allusion, I think, to the effect of pride on the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, as described in Daniel chapter 4. His mind changes, he passes over, he offends, imputing his power unto his God. A bell has given the victory. And as soon as that was accomplished, then his mind was affected. For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar ate grass like cattle. What the Lord is saying here is you are worried about violence and injustice, wait till the Babylonians attack. Justice will not be in the picture, and violence will far exceed anything you have ever seen. But this too will come to an end. His mind will change. When he imputes his power to his own God, then Yahweh steps in. With verse 12, Habakkuk responds, Thou, talking to the Lord, art from everlasting. This expression literally means from age to age, from epoch to epoch. The Bible has got many epochs we can think about. The world that then was, pre-flood, perished. Then there was an age immediately after the flood, starting with 8 souls, growing through the Tower of Babel and the scattering of the people, and then the call of Abraham, and we speak of the patriarchal age. Then we talk about the Exodus and the wandering and the establishment of the judges. Covers hundreds of years. Then we get the age of the kings, and the age of the prophets, and the age of the captivity, and the first Christian century. The economic, social, intellectual climate of each of these ages is different. But God works in them all and through them all. Thou dost work from age to age, thou art from everlasting. So if the Chaldeans come and change the whole situation and complex of Judah, thou art there. O Yahweh, my Elohim. Yahweh is the judge, Elohim is the covenant maker, from the verb to make an oath, the mighty covenant maker. The judge is still the one who makes a covenant. He is, God is the Holy One to the prophet. We shall not die. Even though the Chaldeans come, he is still confident. O Yahweh, thou hast ordained them for justice. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. He looked through these circumstances and says, these violent, evil, unjust acts, these marauders are to arrest our attention, correct our thinking and conduct. But thou art of purer eyes than to see evil. You really cannot look on iniquity, that is, endure it. Time will come when it must cease. Thou canst not trust those who deal treacherously, or hold thy tongue when the wicked. Now this expression is the same as we found in verse 4. It's an allusion to wickedness incarnate. Applies through Satan to his most lavish and effective manifestation in Babylon the Great. Devoureth a man that is more wicked than he. Thou makest men as the fish of the sea. They are caught up in nets and hooks, and the wicked one prospers. He is fat. He is fertile and rich. Shall they therefore empty their net and spare continually to slay the nations? He has this question, what is going to happen? And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he makes a very wise resolution. I will stop where I am. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. Now this watchtower, as we see in Isaiah 5, in the parable of the vineyard, is an allusion to the temple or the sanctuary. I will stop where I am, he says, and look at life through the sanctuary. and I will see what God will say to me, so that I may answer when I am argued with, as the margin brings to our notice. Now the Lord responds, verse 2. When you get the vision, write it down. Make it plain upon tablets, that he that readeth it may run. That is, it's to give him warning. He's not to come down from the housetop. He is not to come back. When he gets the warning, he is to run. That is danger. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. This expression, appointed time, is a technical term. We read about these appointed times in Leviticus 23. They are the Moedim, the Moeds of the Lord. Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost were the spring or early appointed times. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles were the end appointed times. In Daniel 8, verses 17 to 19, the angel directs Daniel to the time of the end and then to the appointed end, Moed Ketz. And the same expression is found here in Habakkuk 2, verse 3. For the vision is for the Moed Ketz. If it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. The Spirit of Prophecy applies this vision to the 1844 experience. The Moed Ketz, the end Moed, at which the sanctuary is cleansed, is the Day of Atonement. So this technical term, that is the linguistic connection between Habakkuk 2, verse 3, and Daniel 8, verse 19, is extremely important. At the Day of Atonement, he is told, this vision will reach its consummation. Now we know about the tarrying time of 1843 that finally brings us to 1844. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. Revelation 14:12 defines it. It's the faith of Jesus. So righteousness by faith in Jesus will be the main thrust of the tarrying message that reached its consummation in 1844. Now the prophet opened in verse 2 of chapter 1 with the question, how long? That is the question that Daniel hears. How long will all this be? This trampling down, this injustice, this breaking down of the sanctuary, this casting of the host, the taking away of the daily. And Daniel heard the answer, till 2,300 evenings and mornings, which reached their consummation in 1844. October 22. Now Habakkuk asks the same question, how long? And God gives him the same answer from another angle. It's at the end of the tarrying message, at the end of the Moed Ketz, the final appointed time for the cleansing of the sanctuary and the settling of all scores. Wait. Wait for it. The just shall live by Christ's faith.